Okay, guys, so this episode is brought to you by Dunkin'. Fall is here, and you know what that means. It's time for Pumpkin at Dunkin'. Stop by your local Dunkin' for pumpkin-flavored coffee, lattes, donuts, muffins, munchkins, donut hole treats, and more, including the new cinnamon sugar pumpkin signature lattes. Visit Dunkin' for the taste of the season. America runs on Dunkin'. Limited time only. Participation may vary.
Hello, welcome to Betch Laughed. I'm Sammy.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Aileen.
And we're here.
Yes. We are here. How was everybody's weekend?
So chill. How was your weekend?
Very chill. I saw the Joker movie.
What'd you think?
Joker movie. The Joker.
The film. How was it?
I thought it was like, it was very hyped, but then I, you know what I mean? Like when there's like the hype and then there's like the anti-hype of like,
no.
You know what I mean? When someone's like, oh, the movie's going to be like everyone's like so excited to see it, but then everyone's like, oh, it's like not that great.
Yeah, that's
but
what
then
I
other
heard.
Some people really liked it. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was like, very good in it, but I felt like he would have been better with like a better script.
The script wasn't good.
It was like fine. It was like entertaining. I had no regrets about seeing it.
No regrets.
But I felt like although he was developed in like a very like straightforward kind of superficial way, and he could have been developed like had like more to him.
Do you mean character development?
Yeah.
Like develop, but like he was his grown breasts.
But he was really good. He was really creepy. He's like a great actor.
I was too
actor.
Scared to see it, and then I heard that it was like just okay. I feel like because there was so much hype around the movie, everybody's expectations were so high.
Right. Also because what the movie he was in for Batman, the trailer was one really of the best movies. The Dark Knight was one of the best Batman movies.
You mean the Joker character.
Like it was one of the best villains.
Heath Ledger was better at it, but that doesn't. Joaquin Phoenix was really good. I think that he like embodied it really well. He like acting was amazing, and he like moved really interestingly, like in the character. I also find with this, and this is kind of my issue with Succession too, is that like it was all like a little too negative. Like I like when there's like a redeeming relationship in something.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
Well, that's my issue with Succession. Also,
I fucking loved Succession.
Same.
You don't even understand.
I find that it's just like okay for me.
Oh my god.
I love it.
I sat there and I was just like drooling. I was literally drooling at the television.
Well, okay. I think the issue is I've come to a conclusion.
Are you
after
drooling
watching,
now?
I was like the drooling emoji. Emoji. Oh my god, I've been hanging out with Rusty too much. He says emoji.
Emoji.
Okay, after watching The Politician and us having that conversation about how it just sort of happens, like I realized, I didn't
love The Politician.
Same thing with Succession. Is like I don't really care if like the plot seems like it's possible. Like I just don't give a fuck. I only care if I'm entertained, and if it doesn't develop at like the right pace or with the right details, I realize that like it just
you're
that
entertained.
Isn't. I don't care as long as I'm entertained by what I'm watching, and that like it doesn't have to be like that.
That's fine.
Artistic is what I sort of discovered, and that's why I liked Big Little Lies, and you guys didn't.
That's fine. That's totally fine. You're like, but some shows are meant for just entertainment, like,
right.
And some shows. But I think though, The Politician, I felt like it was trying.
I didn't see that.
To be,
yeah, but like
fucking I, cerebral.
Here's the. Like, that's the other thing. It's like
there's nothing worse than someone trying and failing.
Here's the thing. I don't think it was like failing. I actually thought it had a lot of like great themes.
What is
and,
this
like,
about?
The Politician.
It's about this
Netflix.
High school. It's about this. Ben Platt plays this like super ambitious like high school student who's trying to like win his election for student president.
So it's like election.
Yeah, it kind
it's
of
a
is.
Little bit election-y, but it's more satirical. It spoofs like a ton of shit in like now this culture, and it's less. It's like more like concerned with like global themes, I would say, than it is just with him.
Okay,
which I think makes it interesting, and also like the cinematography, like the art direction of it is so good.
I think it's an interesting topic in itself. Like, what do the three of us value differently in shows? Like, what is your number? What is the number one thing that really makes you like really love a? Is it everything? Because sometimes I feel like with you, it's like everything.
What do you mean?
Like, what is the thing that for you like makes something feel like really good to you?
It varies on what the show is supposed to be about.
But like, what's the most important thing to you in a movie or a show?
Like if it keeps me and like drawn in the whole time, like if I want to pay attention,
if you're like entertained the entire time. Yeah,
but like entertained is different. Every movie is completely different. Like I saw Rocket, for example, Rocket Man. I think that show, I didn't go into it, the movie, I didn't go into it thinking like, oh, this is going to be really good. I was like, this is literally just going to be watching like cool outfits and like good singing and just like an enjoyable experience. Like that to me is just like watching something just to be entertained, like a great plain movie, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm like watching Succession or something like Succession, like Margin Call, fucking love that too. Like I
Margin
just,
who?
Margin Call. It's another
a
one.
A very old movie. I don't even know how you came
I
up with
watch
that.
All of the movies that have to do with like Wall Street or finance and like
I hate things, those
like
movies.
Big Short. They're yeah. all of my favorite. Anything by Adam McKay, Will Ferrell, any of those shit. I don't know. Like I need. It depends. Like if I'll watch a romantic comedy and I like can love it and also mm-hmm. like can hate it. Depends how it's done.
It really, I think, it's depends hard too. To, like I like I also, I think we all want to be drawn in, but the, yeah. like what actually could,
keeps
like,
us there.
It keeps us there is what's different. Like I think I happen to like really interesting visuals, and I also like when something addresses like a topic or like themes that I find personally
that
interesting.
You find personally interesting.
So usually like Scandal, salacious yeah. shit is like keeps me in. Usually it's particularly yeah. about rich, powerful people.
Same.
Is the most important.
Same.
Thing.
That's why I and thought I would yeah. like Politician. I just yeah. thought it was too absurd.
And, I don't even care if something's like absurd and campy. Like I'm okay with that also. Like if it's just like a little bit like off, and at that point it becomes about like the plot and the characters. But yeah, I have like I realize I don't really have as much highbrow expectations as I feel like
you thought you did.
A future
I'm
a past,
not as highbrow as I thought
no,
I was.
No, as a past version of me would yeah. have wanted me to develop into. Right.
Interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting revelation.
Yeah. I just yeah. don't care. Like, I just want to. I have so much ADD. I could be on my phone reading interesting tweets.
To me, I think the I love
TikToks.
Good writing, like really good, like conversational.
Yeah.
conversations mm-hmm. in writing. Like, I love that, and I but love when people are deceiving each other and like plot. There's plot twists, but not for the sake of plot twists.
Okay.
Like, which I thought Politician had, but I get it. I get it was like a satire, but I didn't give a shit. You know what I mean? It didn't make me want to give a shit.
But I also think it's just maybe not your personal interest. Like Jordana could say what you're saying about the Politician yeah. is like happening with Succession, but you're just more yeah. interested in that. Like yeah. I found like
I get that.
Like I found the Politician to be like, because it spoofed a lot of things that like I have a lot of thoughts on. Like that Gypsy Rose thing was like a whole piece yeah. of it, and like
I just didn't get that. Though.
Like the Bette Midler stuff was so
I love
great.
The Bette Midler stuff.
Yeah, so all of that kept me, and I'm like interested in that like politics shit, obviously. So it kept me in.
The thing about the Politician is I liked the beginning and I liked the end, and I hated, like, I did not give a shit about the middle. It went like 7 different places and I was like, why?
Well, I think episodes 1 to 6 were better than, or 1 to 5 were better than 6 through 9, and then 10
that's what
was
I'm saying.
Great.
I like the beginning and the end.
Yeah. Jordana, what keeps you into a show? I feel like you have pretty high standards and like hate everything.
That's not just sometimes
no, you
I
like shitty shit.
Sometimes I like terrible things. I really like a really, really well-developed character, and the way that I like the way that
you've been obsessed with that lately.
I'm very into like the way that the characters interact with each other. It has to seem like really authentic, like it would happen, like a realistic like thing. And there has to be like, again, like I appreciate like a dysfunctional relationship between characters, but I think there also needs to be like some reason why they're there, like something redeeming or something in there.
Why they're dysfunctional.
Right. And if I don't like get that, I become like, that's why I don't really like action movies, is because I feel like I don't really care about visuals at all. I don't care about special effects. I don't care about cool costumes, really.
Cool costumes.
Besides Cats, which I'm excited to see.
Cool costumes.
I don't think those are costumes.
They're CGI.
Taylor
Swift
is a
cat.
Oh, CGI.
I don't know. Whatever. See? Like- I don't know the difference. I'm just very into like some sort of authentic relationship being portrayed.
See, that's where I don't care if it could happen. Like if this is like realistic. Like
realistic as like a plot point or realistic as like a relationship.
Honestly, as long as it's like interesting, I don't really like think I prioritize that as much.
I think to me it needs to make sense for the world that the show created. Though.
Yeah, that
like,
I think is accurate.
If
yeah.
the world, like in Succession, that world they created has me convinced that what happens in the show could happen, right? So like even though I don't necessarily know where, and so I believe that some things that they do is slightly ridiculous and absurd, I get that they're just doing it just to be like somewhat creative, and I like it, and mm-hmm. I was literally sitting at the edge of my seat in the yeah. last episode. I loved it so much, and I even loved the episode right before that. I was like, It was like so, so good. I can't even. I'm like gonna have an orgasm right again. Yeah. I am.
I thought it was just okay.
Also, it's this, you know how much I love the Big Short.
Yes, I happen to agree with you about like that. It has to make sense in that world. Because yeah, that's the difference. You think it has, Jordana. I think you
not have, about the plot points. I think the relationships.
No, I know. I think you like you put them like they have to make sense in the context of like your brain. Mm-hmm. I think that Aileen thinks that it has to make sense in the context of the. Of the world that they're creating. And I think I agree with that because, for example, Gossip Girl, the first few seasons where they made sense within that world, it was good, even though it was like obviously not a thing. And then later, Gossip Girl got too ridiculous for its own world.
Yeah.
Is that right. Is
the same with The Office?
Yeah. Like okay.
When things become too absurd to the point where you're like, it loses you and there's no reason for it to be absurd.
Yeah.
You know, then it becomes. Off, but I think that that's just standard like quality of television or movies.
Yeah, I also think that because I won't even like continue watching something if I'm not like immediately engaged, I tend to like everything that I watch because I don't watch that much because I get bored and I just don't like I can't even watch it enough to have
when you watch most things.
Yeah, because I can't even watch long enough to have a negative opinion about some stuff.
But I feel like you're not watching carefully enough to like something actually. That's why you like visuals because they make you look up from your phone.
You're right.
Like I think that's really it. Like watching something on your phone isn't watching it.
No, but I'm not watching. Like, okay, The Politician, what captivated me was that in the first episode, every single shot almost was like a symmetrical shot. You have to watch. And then I kept watching to see if it was going to continue being shot like that.
With the brothers and the twins and all of that.
No, like the way the visuals are framed, every single shot was like a perfect symmetry shot. Go watch the first episode again and you'll, or just watch the first 5 minutes and you'll see it and you'll be like, and that's what kept me. I was like, ooh, is the whole thing going to be like this? And then I think they kind of dropped that. But like,
that's what I'm saying. They had like all this good shit in the beginning. And then it was like, where did it all go? They were all just like it's like they got high and just like decided to do whatever. And then they came and they decided, oh, it's the last episode. We need to set up for the next season. So let me bring it back.
Well, they got paid and either way. And I love Ryan Murphy. And there'll be a second season with Bette Midler.
Yeah. I mean, I like what they set up. Anyway.
Should we talk about some celebs news?
Let's do it.
Or do you want to orgasm over Succession?
I can't. No, I have one thing to talk about Succession. Okay. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah. Okay, fine.
And I know this, it's fucked up to say because like all the men wear whatever the fuck they want. But like, what did they put on Shiv in this last episode? That dress? It was so poorly tailored at her fit. And like, she's usually in these power like pants. And it just looked so bad. And I like love her. I love her in these last two episodes, actually, now that she's not weak. Like,
well, I think
I hated her when she was a weak weasel.
She was supposed to be strong the whole time. And I think that she had some moments of weakness in the mid season that made you think that that's what she's like. And she's actually not like that.
I think that she right. I think the parts where I didn't like her is when she was showing entitlement for this CEO role. And she was getting all like anxious. And I hate that.
Okay, I'm looking for the picture that you...
of her dress. It was so ill-fitting. And it just like looked bad. And I feel bad that that's what I'm nitpicking about, like the only real woman on the show.
Good point.
You know, and I know that, but I just hated it and I couldn't stop looking. But her face is so mesmerizing. Like when her acting was so good when she was convincing the victim.
Yeah. So. Oh, that. Okay. I had one of those things where I was looking at my phone. I did have one of those nights where I was looking at my phone a lot. So I don't remember her. Oh, this pantsuit dress.
Yeah. It was so bad.
Interesting.
It was so bad. And like, but all the conversations were, remember when I texted you, I'm like, the conversation about the 5 million, like you, 5 million. Yeah.
That was funny.
That was so
I enjoyed
funny.
That.
You want to be the tallest dwarf in the room? It's like being rich poor. It was so good.
That was funny.
Also the spelling of Wamsgans.
Wamsgans,
yeah. That revelation.
It was a circus in the best way possible. I loved it.
Was
all.
That was the finale?
No, penultimate.
No, I think.
Oh, there's one more.
Okay, great.
Great. Okay. Should we talk about Kylie?
Yeah.
So, guys, today's episode is brought to you by Charles & Colvard. Basically, they're a company and they make amazing, amazing moissanite jewelry. And I'll tell you a very funny story is that they before we did this ad, we got to try them out, and we each got sent a pair of like studs, moissanite studs, and they're so that we. I opened it, I was not expecting it, and I was like, "These are so pretty and exactly what I want." We were just talking about how we both want like everyday
studs, yeah.
And the three of us independently put them on, and we're wearing them, and we showed up to the office, I was like, "Oh, I got these cool earrings," and then Sammy was like, "Oh yeah, me, like I'm wearing them right now," and then the three of us are wearing them like. I'm currently wearing them at the moment.
And they're so, so cute. So moissanite, if you guys don't know what it is, it's the world's most brilliant gem. It's lab grown and it's one of the rarest minerals on earth. It's so rare that it has to be made. And it's an ethically sound, revolutionary, brilliant product offered at an incredible value, which I do know that it is. It's less expensive than a diamond, but I've been told, like, I've heard of moissanite before, but I've never like explored it until we got those.
And they're great earrings. They're like so pretty,
and they actually sparkle brighter than diamonds.
That's amazing.
So you can basically get them for any type of jewelry. They work for engagement rings. They work, so hint, hint. They work for wedding rings, anniversary bands, anything, any type of jewelry. You can get a bracelet. You can get earrings like we did.
Yeah, and they make them in like in classic and fancy shapes like round, square, radiant, emerald, princess. You get it. Learn more and get 20% off with our special listener offer at charlesandcolvard.com/slapped. That's charlesandcolvard.com/slapped. Charles and Colvard, that's charlesandcolvard.com/slapped. Kylie and Miley.
Theme
of today, Kylie and Miley. Who should we mention first? Miles. She's been posting a lot. You could tell she just had a breakup. She's posting nonstop, like nonstop throwbacks of herself, pictures of like this guy that she's hooking up with, Cody Simpson, who's also a singer, an Australian singer.
Used to date Gigi Hadid.
Back when she was
they were like babies. They
when
had
she
baby
was like
face.
Just starting to get famous.
I actually think that their relationship, like I followed that relationship and I liked it. They were nice. They were sweet.
It's just awkward because Miley posted this picture like, he's my type, Australian, Czech, which is like such a fuck you to Liam. And like, he just fit a Czech. Like, ugh, I felt really bad.
Miley went to Amangiri recently.
Yeah, she would not stop posting there. And then she posted this thing about...
Who's taking these pics?
Her sister. Oh. And then she posted this thing of like her mom or sister taking a picture of her inside. And then she wrote like... My mom is sort of yelling at me that I'm constantly on my phone and always on social media, but like something, she wrote something kind of self-aware.
Yeah. Miley like gives me anxiety, to be totally honest. Like I don't know where to put her. And I think that's sort of like her allure in some senses. Cause like first she was like Hannah Montana. And then she was like, she went crazy and she was doing like the Robin Thicke like gyrating sexual penis tour
bangers
and, right, but then she was back and then like normal and with Liam and like kind of like
Malibu,
right, Malibu-esque, and now she's out and I'm kind of like, I can't keep up. I liked her. I was very excited about her when she was like with Liam. I was like, this is such an interesting, nice little story that like she went out, she like acted crazy, she found herself, she's back, and now I'm like, okay, she's crazy again, I'm out.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of how I feel about her. I'm over the like, I was excited when the story fit, like which doesn't make any sense really, but the story fit like some sort of like idyllic like finding yourself thing, and then she was like at peace.
She's
which
too
isn't
young
realistic.
To have found herself though officially, right?
So you only have space for one quarter life crisis
per person. I think
what's happening now is even more realistic than before. Like putting a bow on it and like getting back together with your ex from when you were a kid is like unrealistic, and honestly like it makes sense. Like she realized that, oh, maybe this wasn't, everybody was trying to put me back in this box and really I'm not that girl and I need to figure out who I am on my own rather than connected to a guy or whatever. I don't know. She's like truly like an artist. So
I've said this before. Miley told us who she is. She can't be tamed. Like we need to give up.
She
we need to
that.
Stop trying to, I think, put her in a box. I think that she resists that. I think that's kind of like her essence.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before. I feel like I like boxes. They make me feel safe. So I no longer feel safe with you, Miley.
Yeah, she's just unpredictable.
Yeah.
Which gives everybody anxiety, yeah. But also is like kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I actually like that she is hard to categorize. I find that to be fresh. And like, you don't know what she's going to do next. She's just a little bit
erratic.
She's erratic, but it's in a harmless way. Like, I really don't feel like her she's erraticism. She's not like
Justin Bieber in his erratic phase, erratic, yeah. Where he was like.
Yes. Like, she's safe erratic.
Doing, like.
For now.
Violent, weird things. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never really heard anything about Miley having, like, a drug problem.
She wrote this interesting thing.
She's never, like, missed.
She definitely talks about, like, doing Molly and stuff, right?
Yeah, but now she says that she only smokes weed. And she, like, I don't think the fact that she was doing Molly was, like, an issue. It's the same way, like, our friends did Molly and whatever. They're fine.
Struggling with like the whole celebrity thing right now. She wrote this thing about, so she posted a video or a picture, a paparazzi picture of her making out with Cody Simpson in like an ice cream place or a frozen yogurt place, mm-hmm. And then responded to people who apparently were saying like, have dates at home if you like don't feel like you want celebrities, like if you don't want to be taken photos of. And she's like, dates at home, like that's so unsafe. First of all, I feel so uncomfortable bringing someone in my house. Then it's just Netflix and chill. Like, why don't I deserve like the regular dating life either? Yeah. So I think she's struggling with the whole celeb thing.
I feel like she's like our age,
around our age. I think she's younger, a little younger. Maybe. If you could predict, where do you think Miley Cyrus will be at 35? Let's do this. And then at 35, we can listen to this podcast and find out if we were correct or not.
Okay.
What do you think is her trajectory?
I honestly
she's
think
26,
she's...
26, actually.
So she's like...
So she has 10 years.
Good amount younger than us.
This prediction.
Yeah. Where do you think Miley will be in 10 years? Will she be Aaron Carter? Will she be Hillary Duff?
I think she might like mature into like just someone who is a bit more of like an eccentric entertainer. But I still think she's going to keep this like edge and like almost like a lack of settling down. Like, I don't really see her settling down.
You don't see her with kids in 10 years.
I could see her maybe like adopting like an Angelina Jolie.
I think she's going to be like a polygamist with adopting plenty of children and like being a rock star.
Yeah. Like, I think she's going to be like an artist ongoing.
Like a Patti Smith.
No one gets that. Okay. But yes.
Right.
All interesting. Right. Let's talk about the other Kylie. So she apparently, so she broke up with Travis.
Another artist. Yeah.
Another artist commonly known as.
I can guess where she'll be at 35.
She posts a sweet, okay, like, sorry, but I know you guys are going to jump down my throat when I say this, but she posted the sweetest videos of her and Stormy, and like, she bought Stormy this like playset like for the backyard. You know how people have like the slide and the swings? Mm-hmm. And
she was just, she saved up for a while for that.
Playing with her. No, she got like a big girl set. That's what she said. It was really so cute. I don't know what it, she posts so much shit about her daughter and like not as much about anything like else or like petty, nothing like that petty. And I kind of just like Kylie's little public persona these days.
I like Kylie when she's doing that kind of thing and just not trying to pretend like she's some sort of self-made woman. That's my favorite Kylie. When she's just like, yeah, I'm like a product of the Kardashians and I care about my daughter. That's nice.
I like that. But anyway, so she and Travis apparently broke up. She's been spotted again in the same places as Tyga. And then she wrote saying like, stop. Like, I just happened to be dropped off at the same place that Tyga was. We weren't hanging out. But then again, they were seen clubbing in the same place. Who knows? Don't care. I really don't care about that. It's more so the whole Travis thing about like whether or not he had a mistress, which is going around. And if you go on our website, right now we have an article that's basically like, who is his mistress, Rajan Carr, I think her name is. And it's a really funny article, but it goes through the like investigation of if she was actually his mistress. And all signs point to yes.
Yeah. That's not surprising.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, the Kardashians are not amazing at like picking faithful men.
Right.
I would say 90% of the time they're not faithful.
I have to say that Kim and Kanye's relationship, I feel like Kim and Kanye are like, and you guys didn't watch really The Hills, but like, they're like that, like, perfectly like love to hate them couple, but they work really well what together. Like they're the Hills. They're in like Spencer and Heidi.
What about it?
I feel like they're like a Kim and Kanye.
Oh,
I'm saying. Means, oh, did I not say that sentence
no.
correctly?
No,
sorry, it's Monday. But I don't know. I just feel like they're like they actually seem to like whatever their like, fucked up thing that they're doing is like working for them.
I see them more as like a Hillary and Bill Clinton in the sense of like they're together to like grab more power.
I actually think that really benefits them. I think they're each buying what each other is selling.
Yeah, but I think Hillary and Bill were early on too.
But it's a good match. Like, who would be a better match for Kanye? Who would be a better match for Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, but I mean, match as personality. But when you have two people so narcissistic, like, it must be really hard to maintain like a normal relationship. But I guess they don't have to because they don't have to deal with like the normal things that people have to deal with when you're in a couple.
I feel like given their scenario and given I can't imagine anyone who'd be a better match. I feel like I'm making their wedding toast.
I think they both drink each other's Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm saying. I agree. They're buying what each other's selling.
So like him becoming the next leader of religion, which I see is happening.
Yeah, can you give your thoughts on that? Because I know you have some.
I have some thoughts, which is, okay, Kanye's releasing an album that's basically just like very religious, like Hallelujah, and it's a very catchy song. And then he holds service where he plays his music, which is religious, and people are like fucking into it, like singing, dancing, people of all races, like it doesn't even matter like what it is, people are into it. Northwest is the most into it. And I honestly, I feel so uncomfortable watching Kim posts videos of her, but I think, and with them moving to Wyoming to get more, I really think that he's like starting, not necessarily a Scientology, but like this, like I think he's starting a religion or the same religion, but like a church in which the younger generation is going to start wanting to be part of, start becoming more religious because our generation, our parents' generation is much less religious.
That sounds like the pitch, but I also think probably for him it's like a way to evade taxes.
Probably, but at the same time, I really think that that's what he's going towards. He's always called himself
the prophet.
Like Jesus.
Right, and I always like bought into that joke, and now I think it's like not that funny.
It's not that funny, and now his next album isn't even like calling himself anything. I think it's just called
He Who Must Not Be Named.
No,
I don't think he's like well liked enough to start his own religion.
I think it's like a little, this is weird, but like I don't think you need that many people as you think. You just need diehards, and he definitely has some diehards.
He has insane.
We could start a religion.
Oh, it's called Yandi. His new.
He's Gandhi. Now he's not Jesus. He's Gandhi.
The latest article. This is the funniest thing. Kanye West won't release his album until it is perfect, to sources say.
The Virgin Yeri.
He's always like Jesus walks. Like it's always been there. I think he's like making it a real thing. Like his services. If you look at how many people go to those, and it seems really intense. And right. Like they're all dancing and singing and like honestly I want to go. Like it seems like so much fun, and the fact that I can say that and say like I would want to go makes me think that a whole generation under us will go.
That's crazy.
Like, you know what I mean?
I don't like discount this theory at all.
I think it's the next, I think the generations are going to become much more religious, but it's a different type of religion. The fact that we have a celebrity president, like all things are going to be centered around celebrities.
I think it's going to go like back and forth.
Very Black and Mirror.
Yeah. His next album, he called Yod.
Wait, but so anyway, I don't really have any feelings or concerned feelings about this relationship. Travis and Kylie, people say that she really wants just like a conventional marriage and he can't give that to her.
I could see why she wants that, because everything she's had is not that.
Yeah, I could see that being true.
I can too, because like she didn't choose this. She didn't really do much to like accelerate it, minus get like a bunch of plastic surgeries from age like 16 to 22. Yeah. And then, you know, start like, she, like I would say for 5 years she like really fed it with like her with everything, but I don't think that she necessarily wanted it, because before she was like, I have to compete with my older sister who's like this beautiful model, so she didn't want to be in her shadow. The richest one.
She makes more money than Kim.
I know, she's the richest one.
Yeah,
so I think that like she spent like a few years like getting that status, and now she's just like, okay, I just want to be normal now.
Yeah.
Because I never got to be.
She just wants to have more babies and be a mom is what she keeps saying. She's also great. Fucking 22 or 21.
Great. So she has time.
Yeah. I feel like she's pretty emotionally stunted. If I had to guess.
Just there's given, no way she's not.
Right. I feel like she's not thinking through these things at all. She has no sense of like a path for herself. I think she just does whatever she thinks about.
I bet you Kendall is a therapist. I wonder if Kylie sees someone.
I'm sure the therapist is heavily NDA'd.
Well, I think they have to be. Like, I feel like but you have patient.
I also think she's also, for the vast majority of her life, grown up very, very wealthy. So I don't even think like her, like, being this billionaire like really matters to her. Like, she could always kind of like get whatever she wanted. I think she's like, really tried to get to a certain sense of money, like a certain like number. I think she's kind of just like, she's always been, it's not like she can buy things now that she didn't used to be able to buy. Like, there's, once you get to a certain point, more money isn't like particularly helpful.
I don't think that she was about making money. I think she had a thing. Like, her thing is, she came into, like, Kendall is a model. Like, her thing, what makes her different than her sisters is that she's like this makeup, has this makeup empire.
Well, that's what Chris decided her thing was going to be.
Or no, that's not true. She started, that was her thing more so than all the other girls on Snapchat. And I mean, then Chris helped, like, then she, obviously all of the people around her helped her make it into a business.
I think it's hard for us to really know what Kylie's like relationship with what she was trying to get is like, because I think that, okay, think about, even if you grow up with a lot of money or a little money, that doesn't necessarily mean that you feel like you have a lot of money or that you feel content with it. Or you could grow up with not that much money and be like content with what you have and not that obsessed with getting more money. Or the reason you want money could be different. Like, some people want money so that they can get like flashy shit. Some people want money so they can feel secure. Some people want money so they can like, because they equate it with power. So I think that like it's really hard for us to know what Miley's relationship with this money, Kylie, this shit, yeah, with this money, Miley, this Kylie fame, her appearance really is, because we didn't grow up in their family to know like what those things were used as proxies for. So I think that's why we can't really know what her relationship with any of these things are.
Also, her dad is Caitlyn Jenner.
That's probably a whole thing.
I know.
Like,
yeah. So I'm saying, I wonder if she goes to therapy.
I would imagine.
All right.
Okay. Well,
you guys may have heard that we absolutely love Third Love for our bras and bra needs. Third Love is our favorite because it offers more than 80 sizes, including signature half cup sizes, and they really help you find the bra that's most comfortable for you. When you start, you take the Fit Finder quiz, which more than 14 million women have taken, and you basically put in your breast shape, what kind of issues you've had with bras in the past, what kind of bras do you like, and then they tell you what they think you should order, and then you order it.
Here's the thing. 2019 is all about customization.
True.
You don't have to, you no longer have to do things that kind of half fit you. Now you can get something that you want exactly. And Third Love is a brand that's doing that amazingly. You can be a size, a B and a half like I am. Never knew that you were that size. I'm that size. It's great. It's so comfortable. The straps are like fitted well, so they're not like too long or like pulling on you, and you don't get that weird like line on your body from like your strap being too tight, which is always very unpleasant. And Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/betch now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/betch for 15% off today.
Should we do a Dear Betch?
Yes. Yes. Let's do it.
Who's reading it today?
Sandy, why don't you read it?
Okay.
You're such a good reader.
Oh my God, thank you. Matilda. Hey ladies, I need some advice about whether I'm being crazy.
Hey ladies.
I have a group of close friends from college and most of them live in the city. I live a few hours away, but I've come into the city for special occasions before. It's not that big of a deal. Two friends from our group got engaged earlier this year and they had an engagement party over the weekend. I wasn't invited and I found out about the party on Instagram as it was happening. It wasn't a huge party and pretty much everyone there lives in the city, so it wasn't something people were flying in for, but most of the group was there. There's a decent chance I would have driven down if I was invited, so it kind of stung that I wasn't. I'm not quite as close with the engaged couple anymore, but I've known them the entire time they've been together, and I'm definitely still part of the friend group. On top of this, I struggle with anxiety and depression, and my friends know I can get really intense FOMO. I can't stop thinking about why I wasn't invited, and if I'm not invited to the wedding next year, it's really going to hurt. Should I just let it go and assume I wasn't invited because I don't live in the city, or is it okay for me to ask them about it? XOXO major FOMO betch.
I feel so bad about the really intense FOMO.
And right, the anxiety and depression really just a dagger to my heart.
Yeah, and like also being anxious about not being invited to a wedding.
In a year. Yeah.
I mean, do you get anxious about not being invited to weddings?
No, but I remember when I was younger, like I did get
being not invited to bat mitzvahs.
Care. No, like before it was really wedding season for us, there's a few people who were engaged and getting married, and I remember it was like such a thing, like, do you think they're gonna invite us? And it was,
and the answer was usually no.
And like, maybe not, maybe yeah. And at the end of the day, like,
and now you're like, oh my god, I didn't get invited. Amazing back, I just saved so much money.
You see it more practically. Yeah, even not having been in, like, let's say I didn't get married or plan a wedding, like, I still look at it differently. But anyway, this is a hard thing to answer because I don't really know.
I feel like that what we should address is really the heart of the issue, which is that she feels like she's left out, and that her friendships, which she considers strong, might not be as strong as she thought.
Yeah,
that's really the issue. Like, Delilah, this is just like a a signaling factor for what. Like a sensitive touching point for like what the actual issue is.
Right. Yeah. Plus the fact, and it might not be just that she has like intense anxiety. Like, she might be anxious for the truth.
Right.
Like that these relationships aren't that close, and that she, you know, cause okay, think about it. She lives far away. They live in the city. So even if she's able to come for like big group moments, there's still all that time when that casual get together, the casual lunch that's unplanned, the like the night that is not really mm-hmm. like a big deal. Those are like really important moments, like for friendships rather than just like, oh, these huge things. So it's sort of like she probably isn't as maybe close as she thought, and these people, maybe they had a small party and they didn't want to like pay for more people, or like they just wanted to keep it close,
right?
And so maybe that's why you weren't invited to the engagement, and they maybe only just did people who were in town. And I don't know if you'll be invited to the wedding, depends on the wedding probably.
Right. I think you should think about like, what is a meaningful friendship mean to you? Right.
Yeah.
More so than like, did I get the invite? Did I not get the invite? I think it's more like, do I consider that my relationship with this person to be like a truly close, intimate relationship? Because in that case, I can see why that would hurt. If it's more like being left out of this like larger group of people, I think the older you get, the less that's going to really matter, as opposed, and what you should really start to focus on or try to focus on are like the intimate relationships with the people that you do feel like you're close with, and cultivating those relationships. And if that is something that you felt with her, then that's really hurtful. And I think you can send her a text and be like, hey, like, I felt like kind of hurt that I wasn't invited to this engagement party. I really felt like you were like a close friend, and I'm just wondering if there's a reason you didn't invite me. If, however, you kind of know that you have this like sort of superficial relationship, I think you can just, I think this is a good opportunity and signal that this friendship isn't that strong, and you should focus on developing friendships that are closer to you, and that you feel like, with people that you actually feel like you could get closer to.
Let it lie.
Yeah. Do you think she should let it go and assume she wasn't invited, or is it okay for her to ask them about it?
I think if she really values the friendship, and that's what it's really about, if it's really about the friendship, which I don't think it is, because she seems to sort of hint at the fact that they're sort of just like in the same group and not necessarily that close, then I think you can let it go. Because I mean, I don't really think her friend did anything that terrible if she had a small engagement party to not invite her.
I agree. And like, it could also be that she just like threw it together. Like, she, you know,
yeah, maybe she got engaged and she texted her some people and was like, I'm just doing this thing on this night. And it wasn't like a huge formal thing.
Yeah. Agreed. But I think that's what I'm saying.
By focusing on like, by letting your happiness lie on like, if you're invited to the thing or if you're invited to the wedding, those are really superficial markers of like what the actual thing is. So it's more like your real anxiety is like, am I developing very close friendships? And do I feel like I have like an intimate group of a network of people who are going to be there for me and that I can feel like I can count on? And that's really like separate from this.
And if the answer is no, like if you don't actually think that these people are that quality of friends, they don't give you anything, you don't give them anything, then you shouldn't be so upset about not being invited.
Right. And instead, you should work on cultivating friends with new people, maybe people that are closer to you, that you have more in common with, or that you feel like you naturally just would get along with better. And then those are the things that where it's going to be very easy, and you're going to be naturally integrated into those people's like major life events, because you'll actually feel like a really...
Right, not forcing
it. Really, right. You'll feel like a real intimate connection that isn't just like a name only.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because she's friends with all these people from college, is far away. But she, in her head, this is still like who she conceives as her friend group. But because they're all together, they conceive of themselves as the friend group, and she's out.
And it's because it depends on her age. But also, like, the friends probably don't see it as a priority to include her. Because she lives far. It's usually the person who lives far that needs to make a bigger effort. Unless, again, you're slightly older and, like, you're not constantly doing all these, like, get-together, you know?
And but even if you're older and this is someone she thought she was closer to, like, if they lived far away, but every month or two they had a phone call or they had a catch-up.
When you're older, then you make a effort because you evaluate your friendships. It's not like by default.
Right. Well, I think living far is only like living far if you're really genuinely connected with someone doesn't have to be a problem. Like if you have what to say to each other when you talk and like you still feel connected, like it doesn't really matter how far someone is. It only is a problem if like it also just prevents there from being any relationship because everything that you had was based on just being close proximity wise. And like circumstances, pretty much.
Convenience.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, major FOMO batch. Good luck.
So, guys, if you've ever listened to our show, you know we are huge proponents of therapy. We all have therapists and we love them. That's why we're very excited to talk about BetterHelp today, which is one of our sponsors. BetterHelp is online counseling that's there for you. It makes going to therapy easier, which we're always proponents of. They connect you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. So it's like very convenient. You could do it from the privacy of your own home, and they have licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, all the stuff we talk about on here. Everything you talk about is confidential. And if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. They have 3,000 licensed therapists across all 50 states, and it's available worldwide. So you can basically get started in under 24 hours, which is great if you ever have like a breakup crisis, as I've had in the past, or one of those things where you're like, I need to speak to someone immediately. And best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Bet Slap listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code SLAPPED. Why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/slapped. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/slapped. Well, guys, we are about to play the ranking game, and
Thank you, Eileen.
Get excited. And we want to thank our sponsor of the ranking game, which is Dunkin'. It's pumpkin season at Dunkin'. Enjoy the flavor of the season to its fullest with pumpkin-flavored coffee, donuts, and more. America runs on Dunkin'. Limited time only. Participation may vary. Are you guys ready for the ranking game?
Yes.
Today, we are ranking Halloween candies from most to least lame, and I'm gonna even tweak that to say Halloween candies that we would choose to the ones we would leave in the candy bucket.
Oh my god, I fucking love candy.
To the ones you would give to your worst enemy is the last one.
Okay. So are the options are caramel apples, Snickers, Reese's, lollipops, candy corn, sweet tarts, Kit Kats. Okay, ready, go.
Okay.
Oh, this is difficult.
I know. Because I love candy.
I know.
Some of them are, I feel like I'm almost like in or out. It's hard to rank them. It's like, I'm into them or like I would nothing
just
to do with
them.
Just
do it, Jordana.
You don't really like desserts that much.
Yeah, you don't like desserts. You're just going to rate Faye.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done.
That was the easiest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Same.
All right, what did you guys have as one?
I put Kit Kats.
I put Reese's too. Yeah. Kit Kats is my number two.
I put Reese's
Snickers
second.
Is my
They were sort of interchangeable. Snickers is my number three.
Snickers is three for me too.
Snickers and Reese's to me are like I'm constantly in an emotional battle between which I love more.
Oh, really?
I love caramel. I feel like. But I also love peanut butter Reese's. I also have dark chocolate. I went to Trader Joe's. They have these dark chocolate.
Oh, I've seen those.
Those are so good. Solid.
Can I add a thing? If the Reese's is not a peanut butter cup, but it's a Reese's pumpkin or a Reese's Christmas tree, if it's in December, then it's number one for me.
Oh, you like those?
I don't like those. The ratio is fucked up.
The ratio is so much better because I think they actually use like a different kind of peanut butter. Like I wouldn't be that.
I like when there's a good chocolate, like every bite has an equal amount of peanut butter and chocolate.
I eat the chocolate first. I eat the chocolate first and then I eat the middle.
Well, Reese, okay. So I'm Reese's sneakers Kit Kat.
I'm sort of, honestly, I think that my top three could all be, which are those three, they could all be interchangeable to me. I like them all equally.
Okay. I would put Kit Kats and Reese's interchangeable, but Snickers is my number three.
All right. Now, the rest of these I kind of hate, but I rank them anyway.
Okay. I'm next is candy corn.
Me too. And I happen to love candy corn. I know that's like a meme to hate candy corn
now. No, it is not.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Really?
Candy corn
I love candy corn.
It's not doing well in the polls.
It's not. No.
I fucking love candy corn.
I think that this is one of those things that like everyone has to now pretend they have to go underground about their love of candy corn because of what meme culture has done to it.
What?
It's like now the Crocs
I don't like candy corn.
Of the year, although Crocs have made a comeback.
They're paying for their comeback. You know that. They paid Ariana Grande for that post and now people are starting to wear Crocs again.
Interesting. Good fact.
Well, she didn't say it was an ad, but I know it was.
Good thing to keep in mind. But I do think candy corn is one of those things that all the candy corn lovers have to like hide.
I'm an underground
candy corn.
I will be vocal about my love for candy corn.
I don't like it.
It's delicious and I love to eat it in thirds.
If you really?
Really?
Do you go white to orange or orange to white?
It depends on my mood.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. If you like it that much, why is it number four?
Because I like chocolate more.
Okay.
Candy,
we're like chocolate, bitch.
Yeah, candy. I don't like candy that much, but I love chocolate. So it's chocolate candy, then candy. Yeah.
Agreed. I don't like candy corn. I put lollipops as four.
I put lollipops last. I put lollipops after candy corn.
I put caramel apples after candy corn.
Reverse those.
I put caramel apples after because they are so difficult to eat.
But they're delicious. Last. I hate apples and I don't like caramel.
It's too much sweet.
I actually think it balances out because you have the natural fructose flavor with with the fake molassesy flavor and it just tastes really good. Because you have like a fresh flavor with like a non-fresh manufactured flavor.
Yeah, but they're both sugars.
There's nothing less appealing to me.
Yeah, but they're different. It's a different type of sweetness.
Like I would rather eat sugar caramel covered like pretzel. Because
that would
it's
be
like,
great too.
Because it's like
sweet and salty.
And sweet. But like if you cut a caramel covered sugar.
You have to cut a caramel apple up into different pieces so that there's more of the natural sweetness with the less caramel.
Maybe that's been my issue is that I've always tried to bite into it. But I never
could get
it. That's
because it comes on a stick.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Who gets a knife?
Me.
Yeah. That ruins the whole...
What, you take it home? I've literally never successfully eaten a caramel apple.
I rarely have a caramel apple, but in the moments that I've had it, I would not bite straight in. I'm not trying.
I feel like that's something you eat on a hayride, and I haven't been on those.
I fucking hate those. Okay. See last episode.
Okay, here's to be honest with you.
Please be honest.
I actually don't really like to bite into apples because of my teeth, as I was explaining to you earlier.
Yeah.
My front teeth have just like a lot of shit that's happened to them in the past, and I've broken them off. No. One time I was at the Cheesecake Factory when we were seniors in high school with two people I'm going to name. Okay. And I ate a piece of the bread and
good chocolate bread, right?
No. And I broke a tooth.
Wow.
With bread?
That's traumatic.
With a really hard piece of bread. So these teeth are just they can't.
Have you been seeing a therapist since?
I mean, probably should be.
You look like you have all your teeth now.
Okay, so they're there, but like they're a problem. And so I can't really, I don't even really bite into like regular apples. So
you're not really supposed to. Like you just do it from the side.
Yeah, that's why I cut up my apples.
I do too, actually. I think it lasts longer.
Also, if you add cinnamon to the caramel apple, it also...
What is this, a fucking recipe show?
it like balances it out.
I don't eat apples, so those are seven for me.
It's the Grinch next door.
Also, I don't like sweet tarts either.
Sweet tarts is my last. I put them. Disgusting.
What are those again? Are those like the ones like on Valentine's
Tums.
Day?
You're eating Tums.
Are those the Valentine's Day thingies? It's Tums. Say like that. Is it like the same kind of thing?
Yeah.
I actually put those second to last, but upon rethinking it, if I get a good lollipop, it goes above the sweet tarts.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. Like a lollipop, like you can savor it.
There's like moments when a lollipop is ongoing.
Recently, I've been into they're one of my favorite candies. They are the caramel, like the caramel
Werther's. I saw them on your desk.
Yeah, I'm like a grandma, so I bought the sugar free because I'm always looking for, like, want to eat a sweet thing, and it's really just for a second. So I got some gum and the Werther's, like a granny has in her house. So
are you gonna get what's your
number
one
packaged dessert, like individually packaged small dessert?
What is it, as in
like a Reese's is like an individually packaged candy, or like that's not really candy, it's chocolate, whatever, you know what I mean?
It's a Lindt truffle.
Yes, I was going to say that.
And
I agree.
Yeah, it's a Lindt truffle, which I'm trying to get put into that artwork for our new.
Fucking good. Reese's.
No, Lindt truffle.
Reese's.
It's like best. An experience.
It I is. Do not it's like Lindt. TBH, I really don't like the consistency of truffles.
I'm sorry.
No. It never satisfies me.
It's the only thing that satisfies me because it has multiple flavor and textures. There's layers in it.
To like the what experience.
About Lindt versus Ferrero Rocher?
Hate Ferrero Rocher. Like, don't like the hazelnut
I
vibe.
I used to be deeply torn.
Oh,
when I was younger, I was very into Ferrero Rochers.
Yeah, because
and now,
our moms would like have patients that would bring it.
Yeah, they would always have them as gifts, and that's like the only thing my mom remembers about me from my childhood. She'd be like, here, I bought you this Ferrero Rocher. Like, I was just like, because I know you love it. I'm like, I haven't eaten one of those in 15 years,
it's also
mom.
Also like the fanciest candy for a child.
I have a distinct memory of seeing a Ferrero Rocher commercial, like as a kid, and being like, mom, we need to get these. Like, we need to get these Ferrero Rochers, like right now. And trying them and being like super disappointed.
Really?
But yeah, I so never good. Really liked the nuts. They're fine. Don't like nuts in my chocolate. Same with fruit, really. Other than the candy apples, but
except for the candy apple.
But
I like nuts and chocolate.
Yeah. I do not. So that's why Snickers is a solid three for me.
Densely caloric.
Yeah. So I didn't like it, but I remember like pretending like I did because I had like doubled down so much on how we needed these Ferrero Rochers, but I just didn't really like it.
I will remember that.
Yeah, we used
don't get me any.
I used to have Ferrero Rocher boxes in my house. At any point of life, and I just have a vision like of my dad just like with his feet up, like just like going candy after candy,
just popping those in. Those popping. Those get a lot.
That
to
was
be,
me and the Lindt
popping, quite a bit.
And I was just like, yeah, dad, get
you can't
those
pop Lindts. Those are like
no. Well, there's two ways you could eat them. You could eat the Lindt. Shell first, or you could like take like it in your them. Mouth and sort of like
I put the
suck
whole
on it.
I put the whole thing in my mouth and I let the layers unwind.
Dissolve.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't have the patience for dissolving. I try so hard, but it doesn't work.
And anyway,
Reese's is the best. Because you can slowly eat it.
That's why Kit Kats are more, because you have the layer around and then you have the layers
there's no,
of the
there's
wafer.
No caramel in a Kit Kat and there's no peanut butter in a Kit Kat, therefore it is inferior. Okay.
Well, get your gavel out.
And we thought the 2020 debates were going to be contentious.
Well, guys, like we said before, it's pumpkin. You know what? Actually, I also love a good munchkin, just saying.
Oh, those are great.
So speaking of
the pumpkin spice the munchkins are that
I love
they keep bringing to this.
Munchkins.
Oh, chocolate been, glazed.
As I get older, I love glazed. I love glazed.
Same. Should we rank the munchkins? We should rank the munchkins this week because like I fucking love munchkins.
Yeah, same.
Powdered
too.
Are also underrated.
My favorite, should rank munchkins next
know,
week.
You
Let's
know what
rank
was
them.
The best when like you know your it was your birthday in school, so you went to Dunkin's and you got the munchkin boxes and you're like, give me 100 munchkins. And they're like, how many of chocolate? I'm like, just make it even. Don't give me jelly. And then you like go and you bring
and
it to
like,
class.
And then you eat some on the way.
Yeah. I used to go there when I was younger and I was like, can I have one chocolate munchkin? And then like the woman would wink at me and give me two. And I was like, the best day of my life.
Save the same Dunkin'.
Okay. Well, it's pumpkin season at Dunkin'. Enjoy the flavor of the season to its fullest with pumpkin flavored coffee, donuts, and more. America runs on Dunkin'. Limited time only, and participation may vary.
Great.
All right, guys.
Who do you want to bet slap?
Who are we bet slap? I think I'm going to bet slap a caramel apple here. Oh, no. I'm going to.
Wow.
Sorry, guys. I drink a little too much coffee. I'm bet slapping the costume designer for Succession today.
Okay.
Okay. Sammy.
I can't think of anything at the moment.
This is tough.
I'm in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't hate anyone at the moment.
Good
I'm
going to
bet slap the caramel apples. I hate them.
Just imagining Trinette slapping an apple.
Yeah. Like, all non-chocolate candies, I'm bet slapping.
Okay, fair.
Fair. Who are you slapping?
I can't fucking think of anyone. Oh my gosh. Honestly, things are going great.
Perhaps
right
that
now.
Piece of bread?
From 12th grade. Yeah. Fuck that piece of bread. Wow. It came on a chicken sandwich.
It waited like 15 years and it finally got theirs.
It's come up. The
arc of justice is long, Jordana.
But can we quickly, briefly, since we're speaking about delicious, sweet things, what about the good dark bread from Cheesecake Factory?
Oh, yeah. That is the best.
You don't know
that's
about
soft.
It?
It's soft. But the bread sweet. That
really... last time you were at Cheesecake Factory?
A long time. The bread the bread that did me in came on a chicken sandwich. And you know sometimes when a baguette has like a real hard edge?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was my problem. Never but that's the best part of a baguette. It is.
Interesting. Anyway, that was our show. It's been... excellent. Sammy's not going to be here next week because she's going on vacation.
Vacation. Where are you going, Sammy? Tell everyone.
Switzerland and Lake Como with my mom.
Oh, yes. Fancy ass bitch. So it'll be me and Jordana. Let us know where you want us to rank.
Okay. Bye.
Wait. Rate, review, and subscribe, oh, guys.
Sorry.
Yeah. Tell all your friends. And and yeah, that's really all we've got to say. Until next time, toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye.
Toodaloo. We need a sign off. Oh, and we were thinking maybe you guys could submit what sign off we were going to use to Betches Instagram DM. We can't think of anything good. So just DM the Betches Instagram what you think a potential sign off would be. And maybe next week yours will make it. I won't know.
Or email us.
Or email us at slapped@betches.com. I'll find out when I'm listening to your episode, because like I listen to all the episodes.
You know whose sign off sucks?
Who?
Rhea Jarrell. when she was like, see you in a pip. And then she leaves the room. It made me want to die.
Okay, well, that could be our sign off for today.
There we go.
All right, guys.
What did she actually say?
I don't remember.
Something about a pip.
Let's just say that.
Okay.
See you in a pip.
Bye.
Pumpkin season is here, and that means all things pumpkin at Dunkin'. Pumpkin flavored coffee, lattes, donuts, and more. Enjoy the flavor of the season to its fullest. America runs on Dunkin'. Limited time only. Participation may vary.